welcome to the Worcester Church of the Nazarene podcast. If you've been around here long, you've probably heard our mission statement, loving God, loving people, and living transformed. That is only one side of our vision frame, however. This week on the podcast, we have a sit down with pastors Andrew, Nate, and Sheldon to discuss the other three sides of the frame. This is the introduction and part one of the three-part series titled The Big Picture.
We're so glad you're here. We're going to have a great time together this morning. My name is Pastor Andrew. This is Pastor Nate, and this is Pastor Sheldon over here. And we're just going to kind of have a family conversation about who we are as Worcester Nazarene today. And that includes all of us in the room and everybody joining us online. We're so thankful for everybody connected here at Worcester Naz. But we're going to talk about this thing that we call our vision frame. Maybe you got one of these on your way in today. We're really going to focus in on some of these things here. And this vision frame is really contains every part of who we are as a church, and you're going to hear a whole lot about that today. But the way we developed this vision frame was with a team of about 16 people about 5 years ago. I think we have a picture of all their beautiful faces for you that's going to be up on the screen. It was a really unique mix of church staff people, lay people, members of the church board. The three of us were a part of that team. We were kind of the younger generation being represented. Represented? That's not a word.
Represented is what you meant.
We're not younger. Yeah. We're middle-aged.
Thank you. Okay.
We were less middle-aged.
I've not come to that reality point yet in my life. But we were part of that team that helped develop this vision frame and really spent a lot of time together in prayer, and eating lots of good food was a part of that process. But we really spent hours of going deep of who are we as Worcester Naz? What is our vision? Where are we headed? And how do we define ourselves? And so we're so thankful for that team that was such a crucial part of this thing that we have here today. But one of the things that's really cool to see is how even though that team went through that process over 5 years ago, the things that we're talking about today seem more pertinent than ever. Like they, in our cultural situation, in our world situation, in the situation of the church, God was really helping us in our forward thinking, giving us wisdom and discernment. And so as you learn some of these things today, that might stand out to you. Like, man, this is so good for today and so helpful. So we're really thankful for that,
just
too.
Just to be clear, like, that was intentional. When we were gathering together, when we were doing all this work and planning, like, we were looking to the future, but goodness, we had no idea how it would land in how we are today.
We couldn't have planned
today.
Where we are
no,
today.
No, we couldn't have. No, we couldn't have.
For sure. So of this vision frame that we're talking about, you'll be able to see it's a square, and there's really four sides of that vision frame, and then one big spot in the middle, which is the vision proper. We'll get to the details of all of that. And we're going to break each one of those sections down today. But before we even go to that first section about our mission, I just want to pause for an emphasis on our big idea for this entire series. Today, we're kicking off this series about our vision, all of these things, and the next 2 weeks, we're gonna dig even deeper into that. But the one big idea, if you're taking notes, that you want to write down is this, and maybe you've heard this before, and this is something we landed on as that initial vision team that created this whole thing, is that relationships matter. And then the secondary part that you've heard pastors say a lot is everything rises and falls on relationships. And that is the underlying current of everything we're going to talk about today, everything that we'll talk about in the coming weeks here as we continue into this series. So just keep that context in mind as we have this conversation today.
Yeah, and if you have that vision frame in front of you, the first thing we're going to start with is the mission side of that. And I'm glad I get to talk about mission. When I think of that vision frame, sometimes I think of it as like a basket that carries who we are and what we do and kind of our expression of God's love for us and responding to him in that. So, but the banner that we are under is this mission statement, loving God, loving people, living transformed. If people ask us, what are you guys about? What are you doing? This is the response to that. The banner over us here at Worcester Nazarene is loving God, loving people, and living transformed. The reason we start with the loving God element is that we are created for worship. The purpose of our creation is to enjoy the presence of God and to live for his glory. So that very first thing right off the top, that's where it begins. And it begins there because God started it there. He initiated the relationship. Everything beyond that is our response to him initiating that call of love to each one of us. So he started it, and we are responding out of the purpose for our creation. We are returning to him what we owe him, our love, our adoration, who we are. So if you haven't started at that place of loving God, beginning that love relationship with him, he is already at work in your life. If you start to look carefully at your life, he has been loving you for a long, long time, bringing you to this point. So our response to him right off the top is to love God, and we owe it to him. He delights in it. He loves to see our response to him. But for us, that first part is foundational, loving God.
And then out of that, you'll come to the second thing, which is loving people. And, you know, I define this as loving what God loves, because the entire arc of the gospel, the entire arc of scripture, everything that we see is about God's pursuit of humanity, God's pursuit of connecting in relationship with his creation, us, his highest creation, the one that he created to be in relationship with, redeeming that relationship. And so if we truly love God, if we're truly leaning into him and leaning into who he is and what he has for us, then that's going to naturally transition into us loving people, because that is what he loves more than anything else. And so we connect in this way. We come after falling in love with Jesus, after saying yes to Jesus, we're infected with his heart, and we then go and pour out his love to the world around us as a representation of him to those that we come in contact with, being responsible to make sure people understand that Christians aren't grumpy, angry people, but they're people who love and who care and who genuinely want to see good things for them.
I gotta be honest, I'm kind of grumpy and angry at Walmart sometimes, so
I don't go there.
That's just true confession. If you look at our logo, our Worcester NAS logo, and you kind of see that main circular motion, maybe you've noticed that before, maybe you didn't know what it meant, that's really pulled in to tie directly with our mission of loving God, loving people, living transformed. It's this circular motion of where we have that foundation of we've said yes to Jesus, I'm loving God, and then through his love, I am now choosing oftentimes to love people. There's lots of people we have to choose to love. Anybody? Amen?
Yes.
Okay, very good. We're awake now. So I'm loving people, and then through that process, I'm really beginning to live transformed. I'm living this transformed life. It's this ongoing process. And as I mature in my faith, as I continue to be transformed, I'm pushed right back around. The circular motion continues, and I love God even more. I love people even more. It's this never-ending process. I love Romans 12, 2 that hits on this so good. It says, don't copy the behaviors and the customs of this world, but let God transform you by changing the way you think. Then you will know his will, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. That's what we're talking about. Maybe you've heard the Danny Gokey song of love God, love people. We take that one more step and say, yes, we need to be loving God. We need to be loving people, but we need to be living a transformed life that is looking more and more like Jesus every single day.
He stole it from us. He just didn't get it quite right.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. So, go ahead, Sheldon.
I was going to say, like I said, first service, this living transformed is not something that we do. Yeah. So we don't transform ourselves. You don't self-help your way to living a transformed life. The Bible literally says, let God transform you by changing the way you think. So let him do that transformational work in your life. You can love God. That's a response that we choose to make. You can love others. Sometimes that's a choice that we have to choose over something else. But this living transformed, we allow God to do that work in our life. This is not something to check off a list. It's something that we engage in a relationship with God. And we can't help but be changed by that relationship when it's truly a give and take between us and him.
Now, as we transition into this next section, we threatened this last service, and we didn't have time, but Andrew has a little ditty that helps us. Pastor Andrew has a little ditty that helps him remember the values and measures as we're going in here. So you want to do that for
us?
We'll
do it at the beginning of the measures.
Are you sure you want to wait
that
long?
No, we're doing values right now.
You sure?
Okay, so this is just a little song I came up with that helps me remember. And us as staff, a couple weeks ago, we were going through a time of all, like, digging in deeper on this, so I was showing this to some people. It's really not, it's nothing special, but it's just the values and the measures, and it just goes truth, worship, prayer, kindness, generosity, gathering, growing, giving, going, genuine. And that's it. So
he's here all week, ladies and gentlemen. He's here all week.
I've thought about starting it like loving God, loving people. I haven't got the verses for the mission and the strategy.
Yeah, it's oh man, but yeah, you weaseled out of it first service, so we had to get it in this time.
I was
time.
Very thankful.
I was gonna say, first service missed out. So
they did. So moving into our values, this is going straight to the question of why are we doing what we're doing? What are the foundational reasons that we're doing what we're doing? And that is, I won't go through all of them, he just went through all of them, but we're gonna start with truth. And this is capital T, truth. This is truth as defined by God. I told First Service, you know, this whole your truth, my truth, live your truth thing is absolute garbage. Nothing will make it harder for me to listen to someone and take them seriously than for them to start a sentence with, well, let me tell you or speak my truth. And I'm just like, yeah, you lost me. No, there is definitive. I understand everybody has their lived experience, but there is a definitive measure of truth. And it's not us. It's not how we feel. It's not our emotions. It is God. It
Amen.
Is God. He is the foundational definition of what truth is. And we kind of went back and forth over this one because initially we had said biblical truth. And while we liked the definition that gave in terms of saying that we're a people, we're a follower of we're a follower, a gathering of Jesus, I'm sorry, who are committed to the biblical principles that make up Christianity, that make us Christian, it's more than that. It's about living in honesty. It's about speaking the truth in love. There's so much more to this capital T defined by God truth than just biblical truth, though that is a foundational aspect. Jesus said himself, John 14:6, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except through me. So we stand in that foundational truth. We are a people, a gathering, a following of Jesus who are living out truth in action. And coming out of that, we land in worship. And I always end up talking about this one whenever I get a chance with these fellas. But the thing that Sheldon put here, and this is so good, is that we engage in worship. Worship is not an event we show up to. Worship is not just what we do on Sunday mornings. It is the active participation of us as people who have been redeemed, who have been saved, who have been transformed, looking at God and saying, and now I will offer what I have, everything, back to you. I lay it at your feet. It's all yours in worship. It's not just the songs we sing. It's not just attendance from week to week, but it's living out a lifestyle that is entirely surrendered and given to him as a sacrifice of praise.
I like to think about worship in the line of King David where he says, I will not offer the Lord what costs me nothing. If you can come into weekend worship or personal worship and encounter that in a way that doesn't cost you anything, is it really worship? That's what I'm asking. Like, is it really worship if it doesn't cost you anything? I'm not saying it might cost you dignity, might cost you dollars. I don't know what it is for you that it costs you, but bring something of value to the Lord and lay it on the altar. Put it all out there, like Nate said. Put it all out there. That's engaging in worship. So we stand on truth. We engage in worship.
I'm going to hit you something on worship real quick.
Okay.
Before we move
on. We're
all
talking about worship now.
Yes. but this worship piece has been a part of who we are as Worcester Nazarene for a really long time. Before we went through this revisioning process, our vision was a whole acronym of the worship word. We had something for each one of those. And this worship piece is something we talk about a lot in our basics classes. This is actually what we're walking through today is stuff we cover in the second week of our Worcester Naz basics classes, which is a 3-week class track going of people that are saying, hey, I want to become a member here at Worcester Naz. We have a couple people here in the room that are actually sitting in class. I know I saw Chelsea and Ethan back there. But these are things that we talk about in week one, and this worship piece is so good that it's whatever we're doing. It's if you're at work, if you're at school, if it's just the way you interact with your family, that your friends, everything we do is this lifestyle of worship, like Pastor Nate said. So that's so crucial. I love that. That's part of our identity as a church. It's been there for a really long time.
And just like worship isn't an event, when we talk about prayer, that next element, prayer is not an event. Prayer is something that sustains us moment to moment. It's not something that we just run into from time to time when we need it. It is what propels our life forward. Here in Worcester Nazarene, one of the things that prayer does for us is we have a lot of good ideas, but when we bring those ideas before the Lord and we get his input and we ask him about that and look to him for guidance, he moves us from those good ideas to actually God ideas. So that's what prayer has the power to do, because it's a two-way conversation. It's not just petition. It's also hearing his voice and taking time in the quiet to hear what he has to say. So we engage in worship. We persist in prayer. I think the one element of prayer that you will see when you listen to Jesus in his parables is the persistence of prayer. Not one time, this one request I made a long time ago, but the persistent request of faithful people moves the heart of God. So we're going to persist in prayer. It's not something we're going to leave behind or move on from. This is something we will continue to do.
And one of the ways we're doing that as a church family is, maybe you've heard us talking about our Pray Now Mondays, which we have one of those coming up the first Monday of November. Pastor Joel, you maybe heard him talking about that in the announcements. But that Monday night, 7:15 to 8:15, just coming together, praying for our families, thanking God for who he is, what he has done, looking towards the blessing season. That time is how we together as a family, Worcester Naz, can do this persisting in prayer and having that culture of prayer in our church body. Another way we're doing that is Judy and her team had this awesome idea about the Pray Now, those little lanyards people have been wearing, and just stopping and saying, hey, how can I pray for you right now? Instead of just saying, well, I'll pray for you, let's pray right now. That's becoming a part of our identity as Worcester Naz. So this prayer value is really crucial for us.
And so each of these elements in our values, our bedrock foundation is Christ. He is the firm rock on which we build our lives. He is a firm foundation on which to build everything. But as you start to build up from there, these values are the non-negotiables around here. These are the things that we stand on, that we continue to build the rest on. And kindness was one of those things that we pointed at and said, you know, Worcester Nazarene, we are defined by being kind. And I don't know if being kind has been challenged before the way it has been challenged in the last year and a half, 2 years, when we've been encouraged by our culture to draw lines everywhere and to dare people to cross those lines. And there has been division. There's been disunity in our culture. But here at Worcester Nazarene, we are going to continue to be kind. And challenging our kindness, we see that as a challenge, an opportunity to respond in love. So when you walk in these doors, and these four walls could just be a building, but what warms this place up, what makes it feel like home, is kindness. If you're going to define it, if you're going to say what that is, what moves it from just a gathering to connection, and what moves it from just a small group of people getting together to friendship, that's kindness. It is the tangible ways that we show God's love. So it's taking the love of Jesus that we have experienced and giving it away in a way that makes a difference. That's kindness.
And one of the things I want to point out here, too, is that there is a difference between kind and nice. You know, this is kind of jokingly, I'm gonna say this. You know, y'all have watched American Idol and some of those things, and they'll do the auditions where there are people who just get up there and they're just terrible. And I look at them and I think, does no one love you that they didn't tell you before you went and did this in front of a national audience that you can't sing? Like, who do you not have in your life telling you these things? And the reality is, there is kindness sometimes in being able to say to somebody, hey, you're going in this direction, and you should. Like, it's not just about being presented as nice, seeming like this, you know. Because the problem is that niceness is about you. Kindness is about others. There is a distinct difference between those two things. So again, kindness was very intentional. It wasn't just being nice, because nice is about us. We're about being kind, about living the way Jesus lived, who didn't always say nice things, but he was always kind in what he did.
Yeah, kindness is a mixture of truth and love. It's that perfect blend that Jesus somehow was able to stir up and move in. And we see it around here all the time. You guys are doing it well, but there should be no other church in this community that is more kind than us. That we should try and set that bar. So I love it. I love that kindness element.
Truth, worship, prayer, kindness. And then that fifth one is generosity. And you're like, well, generosity is kindness. We've made a distinction here because we think it's important that generosity is this intentional choice that we're making to give ourselves away, give of our time, our talent, our treasure, sitting with somebody and giving our tears, just crying with people, living a lifestyle of generosity, of saying, okay, everything that I've been blessed with, I just want to give it back out. I just want to give it away. None of this is mine anyways. So yes, it does include that financial piece of giving and being faithful in that way, how God calls us each to give. But there's so much more to that generosity piece. And I love that verse from Proverbs 11:25. It says, the generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. And that verse is not saying give so you can get. That to me, that verse is saying, what else would we be doing? How else could we be doing anything but giving away what God has blessed us with? He's given us so much. He's been so generous. Jesus died on the cross for me. How could I not but go and love people and be generous with everything that he's blessed me with? So that generosity piece, it's that intentional choice to say, okay, we are people that live generously here at Worcester Nazarene.
And the thing I love about that, and you touched on it there, but that our generosity flows out of the realization of how generous God has been to us. It's not just our own. It's not just our motivation. It's literally we're so in touch with and overwhelmed by how good and how generous and how grace-filled he has been towards us that we then turn around and do the same to those that we encounter.
That verse impacted me so much. When we did this all together, I don't think I'd read that verse in this context before, but when it says, those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. If you receive refreshing from the Lord, what is that called? It's called revival. And I think a lot of times people think different things unlock revival in our lives or in our church. It's generosity. It was right there staring me in the face, and I didn't see it until I heard it in this context, that those who refresh others, if we have an outward focus, if we continue to look for the benefit of others and we are Christ-focused in that way, that's when the refreshing of the Lord comes. That's when he is allowed by his word to come into our lives and to refresh us. So I love that. I love that element. It's an opportunity. It's not something that we're like pushed or mandated to give. It is an opportunity to see what God will do.
Yeah.
So we start with the mission, loving God, loving people, living transformed. And really that is answering the question of, okay, what are we doing as a church? We move to these values that are those underlying principles answering the question of why are we doing it? And then the third piece of the vision frame, we're going to keep working on our square, is the strategy of, okay, how are we actually living these things out? How are we doing this practically? And over the next 2 weeks, coming next week and the Sunday afterwards, 24th and 31st, we're going to be digging in really deep on these three of Gather, Link, and Thrive. But we just want to give you a quick look at each one of these as part of our strategy of how we are actually living out the mission and the values of Worcester Nazarene.
And so again, that first one is gather, and this is actively choosing relationship. You know, we are the gathering, a gathering, but part of the global gathering of Jesus. And coming together like this and interacting with each other and with all the bumps and bruises and the good things that come along with that is absolutely vital to continuing to grow in Christ. There's a lot of people who will do the whole thing, oh, I don't need the church. I just, you know, need to get with Jesus, just me and him. Well, even Jesus didn't do that. Even Jesus had a gathering of people that he was accountable with and to, and that he did life with. And so following that example of Jesus, we choose to gather together with people who are on the journey just like us. And that may be in a building like this. It may be online. It may be in small groups. There's various ways to do that. But we are actively making the choice to say that because we want to grow, because we want to succeed in our relationship with Christ, we will choose to gather together with other believers.
Yeah, and I think with strategy, sometimes people are burned out on church growth strategies, or your business has a growth strategy, and it's like, oh, okay, this is a cold mode of the way you plan on funneling people through this method or whatever it is. That's not what we're talking about with strategy. We just want to be clear about how things work, and so many times, as pastors, people will wonder, what's next for me? Where do I go from where I'm at? What's next? And this is what helps us answer that question of what comes next. So if you've been gathering, might I suggest linking? So linking is the second one there, and it's where you choose relationship to join the gathering, but you deepen the relationship by linking up with someone. And this is where we get to know each other. So this is the opportunity to know each other, but it's also a challenge to allow yourself to be known. And that's very difficult for a lot of people, to let the real you be known by others. And maybe that's the next step. You've been gathering for a while, but finding that place to link up with another believer and to believe together for something. In small groups, that's the opportunity that we have, or on a team, or wherever you find your ministry connection. That connection, that being able to believe for something together with someone else, is not possible by yourself. But when you see God moving in that environment, that relationship deepens. Small group leaders, how hard is it to do this? This is a challenge to link up. But I think as we continue to try and do this well, find safe, growing relationships within this congregation and be that safe place to land for someone, to scoot over and make room in your life, to bring someone in and build that linking connection, that can be the next step for a lot of you. You choose relationship in the gathering, but it goes deeper in linking. And then the next element, thriving, is the fruit that grows out of that relationship.
And that thriving piece, we're back to our circular motion again. If you look at the strategy on the card that we gave you, we've done that intentionally again, because we believe that when we gather together, it brings us to that point of linking together with God, with other people. And when we do that, we experience that fruit of relationship that Sheldon just said, and we really begin to thrive, which is also the name of our Thrive Youth Ministry. You guys are sitting down here. Are we still awake? Yeah. Okay, they're still awake, most of them. But that thriving life, it's that abundant life that is talked about in John 10:10, where it says, the thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life and life to the full. That was Jesus talking, saying, this is that thriving life. We know that it happens when we gather, when we link, and we live that thriving peace out with the people around us that are growing and helping us move forward and mature in our faith. It's on that same side of the living transform piece of our mission. That is that thriving life, life to the fullest, not life in fear or life in worry, but life to the fullest, and seeing how God helps us live out that thriving peace. Anything else you wanted to add there? Either way? Okay, I don't want to cut you guys off. So those are the first three sides of the vision frame are maybe the most tangible to understand. These last two are a little more complex, but they're so important. The fourth side of the vision frame is our measures. And it answers this question of, okay, if we're saying this is what we do, why we do it, how we do it, well, when are we actually successful? What are the things that should be showing up in our lives as people of Worcester Nazarene? When we went through this whole process, each one of us on the team of 16, we got this little metal figurine. He had magnetic feet. He was stuck in the microwave at my parents' house, because that's where me and my wife were living at the time. But his name was Joe Groh, and he was supposed to represent just somebody that walks into Worcester Nazarene that says, this is my church home, this is my family, this is my place. These five things should be showing up in Joe Groh's life, should be showing up in Pastor Joel's life, should be showing up in any person that's saying, Worcester Naz is my home. The gathering, growing, giving, going, and genuine. And so that first one, yes, we are reiterating, it is part of our strategy, but it is also one of the measurable things that should be showing up, saying, if you're a part of Worcester Nazarene, you should be gathering together. You should actually be here.
Can I touch on just one thing?
Please.
The thing I love about these measures is they're measures that can be applied at various places. I can apply these to myself personally. These can be applied to a ministry of the church. These can be applied to the church itself. It is a ever-widening and or tightening circle that these can specifically be applied to, where you can ask yourselves, am I doing these things? Like, are these things evident in my life? Which I love that about it.
Very good. And when I say you should actually be here, I mean both online and in the room. However you're connecting, you cannot neglect that gathering piece. It's that Hebrews verse. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. If we are accomplishing our mission, our values, our strategy, then we should actually be gathering with God and gathering with one another. That should be measurable in our lives. And the second one, that growing peace is so crucial. We as Christians, as believers in Jesus, if we've said yes to Jesus, we are never done growing. We don't reach the finish line until we're in glorification with Jesus in heaven. We talk a lot about that in week 3 of the basics class. So Chelsea and Ethan will hit you with that next week. And if you haven't taken the 3rd week of basics, you should come join us next week, second service. It'll be great. But we're never done growing. We haven't reached that point of saying, okay, I'm done, I'm finished, I'm mature. It's this ongoing growth in grace that we are living out as believers in Jesus. And so this should be seeing our minds being continually transformed. We think about things differently than we did 5 years ago or 5 weeks ago or maybe 5 minutes ago when we walk out of here today. This should be seeing people saying, okay, it is measurable in my life that I'm growing in my understanding of the word and the way that I'm surrendering my life to Jesus every day. This growing piece is so important. So we need to be gathering, we need to be growing, and then we move on to that giving piece.
And the thing with giving, I mean, if you've been around here for any length of time, you know that when we talk about giving, we're not just talking about money. We're not just talking about any one particular thing, because when we talk about giving, we're talking about a heart posture. A heart posture that is prepared to give, and it entangles with generous and all of those things. But giving really means an open hand, palms up. That is your posture. That is the posture of your heart, is a giving posture, one that you are constantly looking for how you can serve, how you can add value to someone else's life, whether that's someone who's a fellow believer or someone who's out in the world. You are actively pursuing being able to give away what you have, the Christ that you have inside of you, the Holy Spirit that you carry, giving that away to those that you encounter for their better. And then out of that comes going, our fourth one. And this is one that I love because we all have a very specific responsibility. And Sheldon pointed out, you know, in the Nazarene Church, we believe very much in the priesthood of all believers, which is excellent. I wish I'd thought to say that first, but I'll steal it from you this service. But this idea that, like, it's not just the pastor's professional job to be a minister and go out to those that they encounter and go out to the highways and byways. You guys will encounter people in your schools, at the places you work, at little league games, at high school football games, whatever it may be. You will encounter people that I will never even have an excuse to speak to. And you guys carry something inside of you that needs to be seen by the world. Carriers of the Holy Spirit need to be willing and able to carry him out and go to the world around them. You know, I remember hearing somebody talk about that once. They were talking about how that God, they don't have a mission field, and you know that, and you know they felt like the Lord told them, well, stop taking a paycheck at your work. If that's what you need to feel like, if you need to feel like work is a mission field for you, and you can't get paid for it, just stop taking a paycheck and just go and minister to those people. You get an opportunity every single day. You wake up, you go to work, you do the things you do, you go to school. You have a mission field that you are meant to go to, that you specifically are uniquely called and gifted to go to. And so we go as the people of God.
So just to recap, the way I wrote it was gathering. In gathering, we open our arms to others. In growing, our mind is transformed. In giving, we open our hand, palms up. And in going, we move our feet. Genuine is connecting with your heart. This, and in our gathering, when we formed a vision team and we sat down to look at what are our measures, how do we know when we're successful, one of the things that we fought for as a team was this genuine element, because we didn't want measures to be something you can just tick off a list or do on your own effort. Gathering, you make a choice. Growing, you can let God transform you. Giving, going, all of these things take action on our part. But that genuine connection is a heart condition. It is the flavor of what we do. And I can't say it any better than Romans 12, 9 and 10. And I think it's going to be up on the screen, but it says, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. How good is that? Can we live that out as a congregation? Don't just pretend to love others. If you think you're coming in here and just being able to pretend to love people and you get credit for it, I'm sorry, you don't. You don't get credit for just pretending to love others. Real Christianity is lived from the heart. Our heart is changed. It's transformed by the love of God, and we connect with our heart. A genuine person is teachable They see value in other people and allow others to speak into their lives. They're honoring. We choose to honor people where it's due. And we use terms that are family terms, connection terms like that. Like it's a family environment. And I think that sometimes in our culture, it is very hard to rejoice with those that rejoice. When somebody gets something that I desired, or we see them being honored, to give honor is sometimes a really hard thing to do. But that's a choice that we need to make and continue to show that genuine affection. When everyone rejoices with those that rejoice and weeps with those that weep, we become a living, breathing organism. We become alive. It's something that bleeds is alive. Something that rejoices, joy, is a life response. So if the life of Jesus is in our gathering, it's going to show up in this genuine element. It's something that we look for. Are we genuinely connecting? And one thing, I had an interaction with someone who's been here this year for the very first time, and I reached out by text. I said, "So what did you think?" And they were like, "Everyone there is so genuine." And I'm like, "Did you see that on the wall? Did somebody like tell you you have to tell me that we're genuine?" But no, it is something that really is a flavor of who we are.
And I just one more thing on that genuine piece. I read this book by a pastor. His name is Rick Bizet. And the book is called Be Real Because Fake is Exhausting. Can anybody relate to that? I've been fake before. It's exhausting. And what we're talking about is we just need to be real people sharing burdens with one another, casting our cares on each other, praying together, investing in each other, just living life together. That is that genuine peace, that teachable spirit. It's just so, so good.
So right in the middle of all the square is something called the vision proper. I don't necessarily like that term, but that's what it's called. It's what does all this mean? Where are we going? And I like to talk about this as where we have been headed. This is a journey that we've been on 4 years, and we're about right in the middle of it. And I said in first service, we're closer to 2025 than we have ever been. 2025 by 2025 is what's right in the middle of that frame, and that's where we're headed. 2,025 people gathering in weekend worship together by the year 2025. That seemed like a daunting task or a daunting challenge years ago, but we are closer now than we ever have been to hitting that mark and closer to that day. So one of the things that I like from the old church down the road, when we were gathering in three services, everybody was in a pile. I think when I came, I didn't know if I was going to have to sit in the aisle or how this was going to work, but everybody was saying, scoot over and make room, scoot over and make room, push to the middle so there's seats on the outside. And I think that's part of what this vision does for us today. It says, scoot over and make room. In your ministry, in your area of influence, wherever you have an opportunity within this church, look for a way to bring someone else in, bring somebody alongside, and make an exponential effort to continue to bring others along with you. So if that's in your small group, if it's in a ministry that you started or you're in charge of, if it's an activity, I think of our different sports teams and the many people that gather here throughout the week. Where can you make room in your friends circle to add one more, two more, three more, whatever that looks like? Even if this is not talking about going out and grabbing people from other churches and bringing them here. If our city, every church in this city, doubled their congregation size, our work would still not be done. There's a huge task. And the Bible is not kidding when it says the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. We have a big challenge to go out there and take the gospel to wherever it's needed. Wherever your sphere of influence touches, that's who you're responsible for. Continue to work along with Christ in your sphere of influence and move into this city. Our challenge 2025 by 2025 is not about who's in this building. It's about who's not here yet. Continuing to expand that sphere of influence wherever we can. And it's taking Jesus, it's the love of Jesus impacting others.
Yeah. And one of the things that I had mentioned first service is that this is a mentality that goes beyond just making physical room, you know, but there's also the reality that we have to transition as those of us who have been here, you know, 6 months, 6 years, 60 years, I don't know, that you are to transition from being just a consumer at Western Nazarene to being someone who contributes, because that makes room for those who are coming in the doors who maybe they don't even know Jesus yet, but it gives them a place to be safe and be loved and be treated with respect and to encounter Christ. We need to make room so that there's opportunity for others, and we need you to contribute to that. Every single one of us has something, a piece that we bring to Worcester Nazarene that without you here, we just don't have it. We're missing that element. And so there's more to it than just that. We need to be able to move out of our comfort zone and move into a place where we're willing to serve, we're willing to give, we're willing to give up our seat, we're willing to serve in kids' areas instead of being in a service. Doing these things where we're saying we want to actively pursue making room for those who are coming in these doors to have a place that they can call home.
I just want to reiterate that one more time, that we are not just talking about a number. That's not who we are as a church. But this idea of 2025 is, how are we, even from a ministry standpoint, how are we making room for twice as many kids as we have in our area right now, or twice as many teens involved in our youth ministry? How are we scooting over and making room in those areas? How are we recruiting more leaders to our teams and getting more people to greet at the front doors? And how that is the things we're thinking about, is we believe God wants us to have this influence in our community, Wayne County, the surrounding areas, and just really being intentional of, okay, this is our driving force forward. We know that there are people that are lost and hurting and dying without Jesus, and he has called us to go and to love them and meet them exactly where they are. And yes, we want them to come and be a part of this family here, but it's not just about reaching a number. It's about reaching real people that need to fall in love with Jesus. So I just want to make that really clear. So one more thing that I love in thinking about who we are as Worcester Naz. You maybe want to start playing a little underneath me. I talk a whole lot better when there's the piano. But one of the things that we came up with along the way of this whole process of our vision frame, and somewhere we came up with this little card, we had some stuff written out on it, and we're talking about who we are as Worcester Nazarene and our identity as a church. We had this one-liner, and it just said this, is that we believe you belong at Worcester Nazarene. We believe you belong at Worcester Nazarene. That belonging piece is so huge. Belong, believe, become who God has made you to be. And more than just belonging here and just saying, this is my church, we need your help. We need you. Pastor Nate said it about going out and loving people, but we need your help. If we're going to reach these goals, if we're going to live out the mission, the values, the strategy, the things that we're talking about today, if those things are going to be measurable in our lives of a church, we all need to be living this out together. We need to be finding people that are lost, sharing the gospel with them, living out real life with real hurting people. So I just wanted to share that not a burden, but just that responsibility that we have. We need your help to be serving, to be loving, to be going out of this place. And I want to wrap this all up where we started, with that one big idea that relationships matter. Everything rises and falls on relationships. I hope today that as you've heard us talking and sharing, you've maybe seen that woven in and out of everything that we've talked about, because that is the underlying current of everything we do here at Worcester Nazarene. Loving God, it's about relationship with him. Loving people, it's relationship with each other. Living transformed, it's the maturing in our own relationship and growing even more. The way we live out our strategy and have those values inside of us, everything we do is about relationship. And I'm so thankful, as Pastor often says, that we get to do this with some of the best people on earth. And that's talking to each one of you that are here in the room and online. Man, we love you guys so much. We're excited to be on this journey together. And I know for me, I'm excited to see, yes, what God is going to do by 2025, but the years beyond there, I know that God's plan is good and we're along for an amazing ride. So let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for today. And I just thank you that you are God and you are good. You are so faithful in every season of our lives. And I thank you, Lord, thinking back almost six years ago, when we walked through this visioning process, how you helped us have that forward-thinking mindset. You gave us wisdom and discernment so that we could have this framework to apply to our church, but really to our individual lives, of saying, okay, how am I growing? How am I living transformed? How am I loving God and loving people? And I pray, Lord, that you would help us as a church to really live these things out, that this these wouldn't just be words on a page and principles that we have on paper, but that these become part of who we are, that we are real and kind and genuine people that are living life together and reaching our world and the lost and dying people that are there. So I pray that you would show us each individually how we can live this out, how we can take on that mantle of responsibility and say, okay, I am choosing to go. I am choosing to love. I am choosing to grow today. And I pray that we will continue on that journey together as a family of people that say, man, I belong here at Worcester Nazarene. So we're so thankful for your faithfulness. I pray that you'd bless each one today. We love you. We thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name.